Welcome to the C3 Calgary podcast. We are so grateful you have come to join us. We would love to invite you to one of our in-person services. To find out times, locations, and more about our church, visit our website at myc3church.ca or find us on Instagram. Enjoy the message.
That's pretty good. Oh, it was excellent. We love that. Melissa, would you just pass me up my phone for a second? Glad you're all here. I got a beautiful text this morning. Most of you know that I'm batching. Well, if you don't, I'm making it public. this came from my friend Bill Olson at C3 Calgary North. Just because Kelly isn't in the front row to pray and cheer you on, we took extra time today to pray that you would have a most excellent Sunday service. We have prayed for presence, power, and for the preaching. We have also prayed for a great offering that will allow you to rest this afternoon. And know that everything's going to work out. We love you and support you from the other side of the city. What a gift. How nice that. I love that. Yeah, I'm surprised. Like Kelly left on Wednesday, and on Saturday, a coffee cup that I put down on Wednesday was still there on Saturday in the same place. I was shocked how that happened. It's really surprising. Hey, has everybody seen, or if you haven't seen, our very own Zara has started a podcast, and it is sensational. It's called Belong and Become, and it is so good. Two young ladies talking about their faith, and I just think it's fantastic. So I'd really encourage you to check it out. It's very good. The other great news is we started a new location this morning in Toronto. It's called C3 Midtown, so that's exciting. I want to talk today about relational pain and how to deal with relational pain. Relational pain is much more acute than physical pain. And I think that Jesus was the most emotionally intelligent person that ever walked the planet, and he's given us some clues how to minimize relational pain. So I think that if we do what he says, we can at least minimize our relational pain by 90%. And it's my intent to share those thoughts with you today. Since Kelly wasn't here, I was driving on Friday, and the road was closed here, but it was like there was a boulevard. And so, you know, for 100 yards, all I had to do was just go on the other side here, and then I would have been, well, I was picking up my granddaughter for ice cream, and I didn't want to be late. That's a very good reason. So Kelly would never let me do that. And my conscience was pretty clear because it's pretty wide. Like, there's enough room for both of us if somebody chose to come. And just as I scooted out, along came, a really nice SUV. And what they could have done very easily is just scooched over just a little bit, and I could have went by. But instead, they chose to give me a hand signal, the universal sign of disapproval. And I looked at that, and I thought, like, I get an opportunity to do something right now. And so when I saw that they attend our church, true story, I just went like this, namaste. So I thought we need to talk about relating. it was so much fun. I had sunglasses on, so they didn't realize their pastor was on the wrong side of the road for just a moment. It was just a moment. And I want to talk about relieving and reducing relational pain. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 3. Kelly, if you're watching right now, that really did happen. That's a confession. Colossians chapter 3, and this is a command. It's a command. I think that 99% of the relational pain that we endure is perceptual. And Jesus offered to open blind eyes. There are things that will specifically blind you, and he has offered to open our eyes. The big question, I think, at the end of life is, did we love? Since I believe one of the purposes of life is learning to love, it may be true then that the less love I feel, the more pain I inflict. I've got a screen that says, what consumes us will eventually control us. You could have put pumpkin spice latte beside that, PSL. Some of you should take a picture of that screen. What consumes you will eventually control you. So the mission of our lives is to learn to love so that we will not inflict pain, but offer relational and emotional healing. And we need to be careful not to let people drag us into their choices and own our own choices. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, put on then as God's chosen ones, this is a command, put on, this is a choice we make, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, biggest word in the New Testament, as, forgiving one another as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. I like the idea of forgiveness until I have to forgive someone. The idea is awesome. So how does the Lord forgive us? That's the important part. We're to forgive as we've been forgiven. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12, part of the disciples' prayer, he says, this is why we need to do this every day. Forgive us our trespasses, our sins, as, they're connected, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Those things go together. I would just like to be forgiven. I said, it's so much easier. But we're meant to be people who are perpetually forgiving so we don't carry relational and emotional pain in our life. It's one thing to be angry, but it's another thing to live angry. It's one thing to be offended, another thing to live offended. So I'm talking about today how to relieve relational pain, because I think that our lives are limited by the people that we don't forgive, the offenses that we don't release, the judgments that we don't break, and the expectations we don't let go. The quality of our lives is equal to the quality of our relationships, which is why Jesus spent so much time helping us to live relationally whole lives. I've entitled my message, Reducing Relational Pain. Next week, I want to talk about narcissism, and the title of my message is, So You Married a Narcissist. Before Tara goes, I just want to say a word just for a second. Joe, I want you just to stand up for just a second, just for a nanosecond, it's okay. I know he doesn't like being embarrassed. Hey, everybody, this is Joe. About 3 weeks ago, I saw you ministering, preaching the gospel. And I believe that there's a call in your life to minister the gospel publicly. And I'm just going to say that out loud publicly, not just to embarrass you, but to say that I think that's a word on your life. Just to publicly minister the gospel. Okay, Thank you. Okay, Terry, you can go now. Okay. I want to do a quick little object lesson here because I've done this before, and it usually gets pretty good attention. So I want to just talk about things that trap us. I used to trap for about 3 years of my life. I used to trap. The idea of a trap is you're not meant to see it. If an animal sees the trap, right, they don't step in it, right? So there's a word in the New Testament, and it means the trigger of a trap. The word is scandalon, and it comes from the word scandalismo. You get the word scandal from it. So I know I've done this before, but I just need to do it again. Because here's what I'll do. Let me just set this for you, because it's better if I can. Okay, don't slip. It's okay. Just relax. It's okay. I've done this I haven't done this for a long time. Okay. I wonder if I need some help. No, I'm probably okay. Why isn't this? So this is this little trigger here. That another word for that is offense. You think I'm okay? Huh? It's a big deal. Just a trap. So that little thing right there is called the scandalismo. And another word for it is an offense. In Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 16, you wonder what I'm going to do now, don't you? I'm creating suspense. Jesus turned to Peter. He was not looking at him. He turned to him and he said, "Get away from me, Satan. You're a dangerous trap." Some versions say stumbling block. The word is scandalismo. You are a trap for me, a potential stumbling block to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view and not from God's. What is he saying? He's saying this, that because there's two levels of perception. One is an earthly perception, and he says that your point of view, you're a trap to me, because you're seeing things from a physical perspective. But there's another perspective that we're meant to have because we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. We can have a different view of stuff. So he says, you are a trap to me. Get this, that a person, because we serve a relational God, we are relational beings, that a person can be a trap. Do I have your attention? That right there is what, and we don't see it. So here's what I do. I use a trap in the winter. You'd usually boil the traps so no animal couldn't smell it. You cover it with a little bit of toilet paper, a little bit, and then, you know, the animal comes and it's too late. I'll just get this over with. But I want you to see that as something that happens to us. That we get trapped. Now we're pulling around a trap. Lots of animals will chew off a leg and then just keep going. And for some of us, that's what we've done. We just, you know, chewed it off and kept on going. he says, I just want to say in what happens, pastor survey found four reasons people leave church. One is death. That's legitimate. Fair enough. preferred style, transfer, that's fine. But an astonishing 60% of people leave churches because they're offended. If you came from another church, you could have came here offended. I just want you leaving here offended. Because to be offended is a trap. And so he says in Matthew 18, right beside Matthew 16, if you read, this is a relational chapter, which is profound. It tells us to become like children. And then he said, how terrible it would be for anybody if they cause sin. Temptation to do wrong is inevitable. How unfortunate it will be. So if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. Better to be crippled and lame. Or if your eye offends you, gouge it out. Okay, he's not talking about doing personal surgery on yourself. That's foolish. He's not saying that. That's dumb. But what he's saying for us to do is to do the delicate surgery of removing things that are within us so that we can live a life that's free. He goes on to say towards the end of that chapter, if you look at verse 15, it said, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point that fault out. He's talking about how two believers, this is the most horrific thing to me, that Christians can't get along. We're meant to be the most loving, kind, forgiving, unoffendable people on the planet. And we all know intuitively that we're meant to forgive consistently, even daily. Why don't we? But he said, if that isn't successful, go do this, go do this. And I'll tell you this, whatever you permit on earth is prohibited in heaven. And what you allow on earth is allowed in heaven. He's saying the things we do here actually impact eternity. And then he says this, but I'll tell you this, I'm gonna also tell you this. This is in red, referring to the two worlds. If two of you agree down here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three are together, because they are mine, I am there among them. I think it's legitimate to use that for money. I think that's okay. I think it's okay to use it as for prayer. But what he's referring to is about reconciling and about, here's where I'm gonna be present. If two of you can learn to get along, I'm gonna be present there. If two of you could just agree that we're gonna live lives that are forgiven as Christ has forgiven us. If we could just agree to that, he said, I'm gonna be in that. He says this, somewhere, I think it's Mark chapter 6. No, it's not there. Okay, let me go back to my other point. Offenses, carrying offense against another person is a trap. So is unforgiveness. It's a trap. And you and I can live forgiven lives if we would simply learn the discipline of forgiveness. I know it doesn't feel right because we would like justice. Now, that's not how we'd like to be treated, but that's how we prefer to treat others. And we like to treat them, I love the concept of forgiveness until I don't. So part of me prefers revenge. If I'm left to myself, my bruises, my brokenness, forgiveness seems impossible, offensive, and often too uncomfortable. And it seems very unfair. But I live with the consequences of that because the more pain that consumes me, the more it controls me. When our sight is restored, our relationships are as well. What we look for, we will see. And what we see becomes our perception, and our perception becomes our reality. I remember buying a red blazer. After I bought the red blazer, I was surprised how many other red blazers are around. Like there's one around the block over there, and there was two just up the road, and I go, where'd they all come from? Jesus said it this way, what you seek for, you'll find. So what you're looking for, you'll see. So if you're coming on a Sunday morning looking for faults, let me just tell you in advance, there's lots. But if you come looking for Jesus, you'll also find him. There's lots of him here too. Depends what you look for. Because what you look for, you will eventually see, and what you see becomes your perception, and your perception becomes your reality. Jesus came to restore sight. When you read the Ten Commandments, you'll find that eight of them are how we relate to others. That's probably a clue. In an obviously hidden fashion, Jesus totally brings together every relational theory and puts the most profound principle in place that you'll ever hear in your lifetime. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. That's profound. Because then we would ask this question, how would we like to be treated? Just take time with it. How do I want to be responded to in an email? How do I want to be spoken of? When I blow it, what reaction do I like? So if someone's coming down the wrong side of the road at you, might be a pastor with those wife there to slap him in the knee. Lord. Let me suggest that when we make mistakes, when we blow it, when we overreact, when we overthink, we want to be forgiven, not punished. We want people to look for the best in us, all right? We need to be people who are looking for the best in others. When you look for the best, you will find the best, because what you seek for, you will find. Jesus said that he says, you're not going to see me again until you're able to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I remember the first time I read that and I go, what's the big deal? But you mean my revelation of who Jesus is dependent on me blessing the people he brings into my life. Okay, that's mind blowing. That person that you brought in my life across my path that did this, 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 wah, 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 poor, poor, pitiful me. Until I'm able to say, unlike Adam, blessed is this person that you brought into my life, because they're revealing levels of selfishness and all kinds of other things that I would never have seen were I left on my own. It's still true, it is not good for man to be alone, says a bachelor for the week. Our revelation of Jesus is limited until we can bless the people that he's brought into our lives. But Pastor, you don't know. I don't need to know. The one who's begun a good work in you, he'll complete it. And when you're able to say, we're actually invited to bless our enemies. I take time every day to not just bless my wife, but to think of things that make me feel blessed. I call it mental monogamy. That I'm thinking always as a married man, because I know my thoughts will lead to actions. So I want her, I keep pictures of her that I can look at and until I can see, I am, and in the last couple of days, I'm looking at pictures of, Jesus, do I ever miss Kelly? Anyway. Forgiveness is both a decision and a process. Forgiveness is when we decide that the person that hurt us can no longer hurt us any longer. I think 1,000 negative relational emotions can be attached to the seed called unforgiveness. Jesus says it's a daily thing. Forgiveness may not be what's in front of us, but it's what informs us about our past. And I can't change the experiences of my past, but I can choose what I do with those experiences. So when I find a painful experience in my past, and believe me, I've got lots, when I come up to an experience from my past, I take authority over that, bring that thought into obedience to Christ, ask the Lord where he was, and I change the narrative so my story is no longer connected to that negative situation, and I'm no longer a loser because of that. I'm a winner because of what Christ has done for me. I rewrite the story. I flip the story. It's our experiences that form our perceptions, for better or worse. And when I can no longer see you as Christ sees you, I can no longer relate to you as Christ wants to relate to you through me. Our perceptions form prisons. Our offenses and unforgiveness blind us, and then they bind us. Jesus came to open up prison doors for us. The worst prisons are those we impose upon ourselves. Feeling hated, feeling angry, feeling resentful soon becomes living angry, living hateful, living angry, and living resentful. We need to take authority over that. Unforgiveness blinds us to the goodness of God, and I've been told I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. That's my promise. Forgiveness should be specific. Who am I forgiving and what am I forgiving for? You can't change what happened to you, but you can change what you believe about what happened to you. Forgiveness is a command. There's no place in Scripture where it says forgive and forget. You can search if you want. That's not one of the Ten Commandments neither. I'm always surprised that people tell me they live by the Ten Commandments. I say, could you just repeat them for me, please? No, I said, like an apple a day keeps the doctor away? Like what? What is it? So the portions of the Scripture that we don't practice are the portions we don't believe. I think that even we're invited to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and our neighbors ourselves. I think loving God and loving our neighbors is easier than loving ourselves. I think the hardest person to forgive is ourselves. We are the hardest, we are the most critical judge of ourselves. Sure, the person that hurt you should pay, sure. But now you're paying for them. Revenge is paying double because you carry in your heart the pain and it causes you to say and feel things that you wouldn't normally say and feel. So what we do is we look back and we collect all of those dots. So one of the reasons that you got here today is because there's a dot that the Lord wants you to deal with. Why? So you can be free. It's for freedom that Christ set us free. That's why. So you collect the dots. Lisa Turnkers told us this, told me this. You collect the dots. You connect the dots. Oh, I see. And then you correct the dots so we can move forward. But we overcome unforgiveness when we decide to take away the power from the ones who hurt us. If you're living in this world, people are gonna hurt you. Oh well, you can get past that. As followers of Jesus, we're supposed to forgive. So what I do is I recall and I identify the pain. I need to name it. If I can't own it, I can't change it. And we got all different ways of covering up stuff. Especially full gospel charismatic believers, we over-spiritualize everything and we come up with nice little phrases. That is not helpful because it's denying that something happened to you still hurts you. I identify the pain by name. I identify the person by name because I can live forgiven. I can forgive everybody, everything, every day. Reconciliation takes two people. Forgiveness takes one. So you may not be reconciled, but you can live forgiven. This is really, really important. It's like we have big filing cabinets that are filled with things that happened to us and the wrongs that have happened to us. Judgments, perspective. Judgments and offenses and unforgiveness mess with our perspective of others. So it's time for a new storyline. How can I see different? What good can a new perspective give me? Because I need to see healthy before I can feel healthy. So don't forget, the more our pain consumes us, the more it will control us. Jesus came to liberate us from pain. Don't let hurt and pain and resentment limit your life. If not, it will deal with you. It does not go unnoticed. It'll begin to live someplace in you. It'll begin to tamper with your health. It'll tamper with your perspective. It'll tamper with your heart. And pretty soon, it'll create a little prison that we live in. All right. Worship team. Let me summarize. I don't think it's healthy to forgive and forget. It would be foolish to forget what I'm supposed to learn from. Am I right? So what's happened to you, your experiences, your experiences, you get to now invite Jesus into those experiences and redeem them. I've asked the Holy Spirit to reveal to us any people or event in our life or an organization in your life that's causing you some form of relational pain. I hear it all the time. People complaining about the government or complaining about their workplace or complaining. You get to choose your life. This is the most sacred thing about us, is our power of personal choice. So daily we need to forgive. The question is this: what do you give up? When we begin forgiving everybody, everything, you give up the right to demand that the ones who hurt you pay you back or suffer for what they have done to you. What are you giving up? You're giving up the right to demand that the ones who hurt you pay you back or suffer what they have done for you. You may never see how it happens. That's up to the Lord. You may never see justice or vindication come. That's up to the Lord. But you give up your right. When we forgive, we give up our right to punish those people so we can go free. This is for freedom. And what do you get? You get freedom to move on. My perspective is how I see things. It's not how things are. It's how I am. We need to be brave. We need to be honest. And if we're willing, the life of freedom is still ahead. Unforgiveness, offenses, expectations, and judgments are trap. We can go free today. You don't need to eat your leg off and bleed all over everybody. What we need to do is forgive. Let's live lives of forgiveness. This is so simple, so difficult, and so powerful. But if you're going to move on, you need to forgive as we've been forgiven. Would you stand with me, please? Holy Spirit, I thank you, not just as your word become a light to our path, but you are the illuminator within us that helps us to see traps, expose snares. And today, by the power of your Spirit, Lord, I believe you're bringing people to our mind that have been in our life, and we're not able to say, blessed are they that have come in the name of the Lord. And it's limiting our ability to see you as you really are. Father, today, as a forgiven people, I ask that we would make this profound choice to live forgiven. I pray for everybody that's here under the sound of my voice, that we would choose to say, like your last words were on the cross, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they did. So Holy Spirit, I ask you to bring people to mind. Maybe it's spiritual leaders. Maybe it's churches. Maybe it's a government. Maybe it's, I don't know. Just bring them to our minds right now. I call them up in the name of Jesus. Situations, places where abuse happened, where hurt happened, violations happened. Bring them up, Lord. Let us have a look at them and let us name them. Let us even bring that name up before you. And now, Jesus, as you've forgiven us, I ask that we would be those people that would free ourselves by forgiving and letting go of every offense, every expectation, every judgment, so we could see these people as you see them, perfect, in a perfect place, whole, and that we could feel your smile, that we could see them the way you are so we could treat them the way that you see them. Forgive us, Lord, for the blindness that we've had in thinking that we were any better. Forgive us for judgments and offenses that we've carried in our heart. Forgive us because we're a free people for living in this form of bondage. And today, we choose to walk in forgiveness and let them go in Jesus' name. We forgive, we forgive, we forgive, and we let them go. We send them away and we rewrite the stories of our past into a beautiful good news story that you are working out a profound spiritual dynamic in our hearts. Father, thank you for forgiving me when I was a rascal. You forget while I was sinning and shaking my fist in your face, you forgave me. And so we choose to forgive everyone, everything, every day. In your name, Jesus, amen. Let's live like this, let's live like this. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, there's a very simple process that we go through. We pray a prayer. We ask the Lord to forgive us our sin. We acknowledge of that. We accept what he did on the cross and we invite him into our life. Not only will you be saved from the penalty of sin, you'll be saved from the presence of sin and the power of sin. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, today I invite you to make that decision. So in these next few minutes, if that's you, you don't need to close your eyes, but if that's you, I want you to shoot your hand up in the air so I can pray for you. If that's you, haven't accepted Christ as your Savior. Is there anybody? Anybody? Father, move on hearts right now, I pray. Move on hearts to be honest and be bold. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. If there anybody else want to join these two brave souls, anybody else? I'm just going to ask you guys to come on up over here to the side. We're going to pray for you in just a minute. I ask the prayer team to come right now. If you are wrestling with a relationship that you need a power assist with, I'd ask you to come forward for prayer. You just haven't been able to crack it. These people are here to pray for you today. Through those doors walk men and women who are free to walk in freedom and to be able to see people as Christ sees them. God bless you. You're released. Go change your world. If you want prayer, please come forward. Amen.
Thanks for listening. To hear more messages like this one, subscribe to our podcast and find us on YouTube. If this message resonated with you and you would like to give to our church, go to mycthreechurch.ca. See you next week.